The Lord Jesus was magnified. Acts 19, 1 to 20. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 said, "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The word Christian simply means a follower of Christ. It was a time when the Apostle Paul first came to the church in Antioch. It was a man who brought him there from his hometown in Tarsus. And our Bible tells us that it was there in Antioch that men and women who gathered themselves to form the Church of Jesus Christ were first called Christians. And as the name suggests, our lives are to be a reflection of our Lord and Savior whom we follow. Our everyday life is a litmus test of our Christian testimony. By the way we live, we either give glory to His name or we tarnish and diminish His name. And we realize God we cannot see. But our life can be seen. And so when we call ourselves Christians, be very much aware of the name whom we represent, the Christ whom we represent. And our Master is pleased with us when we are good followers of Him. A time will come, we were singing our hymns, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return and He will bring His reward to His faithful followers. Christ's name is exalted when we are obedient to the commandments of God. And the nature of the living God, by virtue of our close relationship with our Master, manifests itself in our lives so that our God's name may be lifted up in our lives. And we can do so as we seek, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our fellow man as we love ourselves. These are the commandments of Christ, which He summarized for us as the gist of the Christian life, whereby Christ can be exalted. And you would see that the life of the Christian, when you walk with God, has a, what I'll call it, a magnetic attraction to the people around us. How come he's living such a happy life? How come there is joy and peace? There is love, there is patience. I don't see it in the people around me, but I see it in the life of this Christian brother, this Christian sister. This is our testimony before God and men, that we are to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women dying without hope, that we may give to them the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. And this is our great privilege. And Jesus says to His disciples that we are the light of the world. It is as a city that is set on a hill, neither that cannot be hid. And Jesus says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. He's saying that do not be a secret Christian. Let the light of the life of Christ shine through you to the world. And the Apostle Paul calls the gathering of the body of Christians the church of the living God. Very interesting phrase that he used. And he says that we are the pillar and ground of truth. God has not entrusted the truth to any institution on earth, but to the local church, to this body of Christians. Not to the most renowned universities in the world today. Not to any political system or party. Not to any public education system. But God entrusted the truth to the members of the local church. And we are given that mandate. We are the only one who proclaim the message of the revelation of God. And you realize how sacred that mandate is, how privileged that mandate is. And you see, we have that privilege to go and tell the world around us that Jesus saves. There is a way out of your misery. There is a way out of your bondage. There is life in Christ. And God entrusted this gospel to a chief sinner like the Apostle Paul. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. And if God can use such a evil man before his conversion, indeed, God can use us. But the Lord wants us to deny ourselves and let Christ be all in our lives. And so, how was the Lord Jesus Christ exalted and magnified during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul? We want to study this in our text today. So, three thoughts for us. First one, from verses 1 to 7. Christ proclaim, or Christ receive, to the salvation of souls. Verse 1 to 7. Secondly, God's word taught or imbibed to the strengthening of faith. Verse 8 to 10. And from verse 11 to 20, God's power manifested for the authentication of His presence, or, well, I just written down, for His deity, that He is indeed the living and true God, the one that made us. You know, who made the human mind? The human mind is so wonderfully amazing, isn't it? How the human mind, you know, in this last century, or the last 330 years or 40 years, seeing the proliferation of knowledge like never before. Who made the human mind? Well, we realize that there is a God in heaven who made the human mind, and He is the one who gives us the sanity in our minds. The life that we have. And we want to see that unless we have Him, without Him, truly we have nothing. So this first thought we want to think about is Christ proclaimed, or Christ received, to the saving of souls. This is the third missionary journey. And the third missionary journey would see the Apostle Paul going back to the churches that he has founded in order to strengthen the hands, the spiritual life of the believers in these churches. And so we saw last week how he traveled from Galatia, from land. He started back in Antioch in Syria, and he went from Galatia to Phrygia, and then he comes down here to Asia, to Ephesus, this city here that was to be a major outpost for the gospel. Ephesus is ranked behind Rome, ranked behind Alexander, ranked behind Antioch. It is a major city of commerce in the Roman Empire. A great city, a place where there is great movement of people. And it was there that the Apostle Paul would choose to establish the church. And you would see how he would spend a long time there in that church. And when you find godly men in the midst of ungodliness, there is a permeating influence like salt, like light, that penetrate, that preserves, that affects, impact the things around, the people around. And this you would see in our text here in Acts chapter 19. And it is an interesting reflection for us, right, that wherever God places you, wherever you go, you are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And your life, we see, is with the Spirit filling us, would enable us to impact, influence the people around us. And so we want to think and consider this first thought. And verse 1 of our text tells us, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, we spoke about this man Apollos, how he was taught in the ways of God more perfectly by this couple called Aquila and Priscilla. And then the Apostle Paul, leaving them there, came to Ephesus. That's what verse 1 tells us. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And what happens here when he reaches Ephesus? Our text tells us that he found certain disciples, right? Certain disciples who claim to know God, believers, and yet it's interesting that they do not know the fullness of the gospel of Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. They said that they only know the preaching of John. And it's more than 20 years since those times when the Apostle John, or when John the Baptizer exists. And that knowledge seemed not to have passed on. And so the Apostle Paul saw, right, there were these 12 men who were there in Ephesus who do not know Jesus Christ in its fullness. They have understood. They have understood the preaching of repentance of John, right, as our text tells us. Unto what then were ye baptized? They said, verse 3, unto John's baptism. Then Paul asked them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, but they should believe on him
who should come after him.
That is Christ
Jesus. But this man said they have not heard of the fullness of the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul was there at hand to proclaim the gospel to them, to share with them that when you come to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for your sins, and how he rose again from the dead the third day, you can be saved. And as you come to God, as you forsake your sins, as you seek Christ for who he is, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would come and indwell you. And that's a doctrine that was not understood. And that's why when he wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, he specifically emphasized that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit will come and seal you. Right? You are marked by God as his own. And this sealing, this ownership by God, you are possessed by him, will be for eternity. And so the Apostle Paul came, and the Apostle Paul shared the fullness of the gospel to this 12 men. And it's so interesting that this man, Paul, is so filled with the Spirit of God that God would use him wherever he goes to harvest souls to the kingdom of God. And you see here that was described in verse 5. When they were heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. It's very interesting. The gospel writer Luke described to us and the unseen phenomena of the Spirit of God coming to indwell the believer when we receive Jesus Christ by faith. And that is a process of conversion, unseen to the human eye, but by faith we know that if you have sincerely received with your whole heart the gospel, you will be saved. And the Spirit of God comes and indwell you. And what is the effect of God's presence in the life of his people? There will be a change. And Paul recorded this change here at the end of verse 6. He says, and they spoke with tongues. They were able to articulate their faith in a different language. God gave them this gift, and they were able to prophesy. They were able to speak the things of God. Remember, during that time, the canon of Scripture has not been formed and completed as we have today. Right? The Scriptures were in the process of being written. And we know that in this third missionary journey, when the Apostle Paul would travel from 54 AD to 58 AD, he would begin to write these epistles that we would find in the New Testament Bible. He would write the book of 1 Corinthians here in Ephesus during his stay. He would write the book of 2 Corinthians,
not here, but in another city of Macedonia.
You write the book of Galatians, you write the book of Romans
during this time. And so the scripture is in the process of being formulated as the Spirit of God used this man of God to write down this faith articulated, so that today we have it all written for us in the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible. And so this first thought, we want to see how Christ was proclaimed and how Christ was received. You see, the life of this man was so much filled with the life of God in him that he was a living witness wherever he goes. You know, at the later part of his life, he would write the epistle to the Philippians, and he would confess, and he would say how he is a man who is given over completely to Christ in his life. That's why you see God used him so mightily. He says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God." I was writing the pastoral article and this week's message, Fleeting Riches, how the man Solomon wrote by inspiration, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom, wilt thou set thy eyes upon that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." You see that the world today is fully engulfed in a materialistic culture, getting gain for this life, sometimes disguised, you know, don't see it that clearly. Not only out in the world, but within the Christian church. And so if we love mammon more than God, how can we truly be effective for the Lord? Right? Our affection is divided. But if you look at the life of this man, Paul, you see that his life was totally given over to God, and how the Lord uses him so mightily. And this is what we see here in our text, how he shared the news of the gospel to these 12 men. Well, not a small number, you know, to think that he could gather 12 men and there shared with them the gospel, and all of them were saved simultaneously, and how he baptized them. We do not see, but if you read in between the lines, you would see how he would have spent time with them to speak to them, to share with them the truth of the gospel, the way of blessing, the way in which they are to live their life to receive the blessings from God. So a lot has gone in that is not described, whereby he shared his
life, the life of God in him to these people. And this was the man Paul, you see. That's how Christ's name was glorified in Ephesus when he was there. There was that influence, there was an impact, because this was a man who is wholly given over to God. So this is the first thought that we want to think, right? Christ proclaim and Christ receive to the saving of souls. And then our next thought in verse 8 to 10, God's word taught, imbibed to the strengthening of faith. How can the name of God be glorified? Well, you see here, it's through the teaching of the Word of God, painstakingly in the lives of God's people. If you would be willing to imbibe the Word of God in your life, be willing to come under the sound of the faithful preaching of the Word of God, you'll find that your life would be changed, and God can use your life in a very special way. You are a special vessel for him. And Paul wrote, after he spent 3 years in Ephesus, the longest in any other city. And it's interesting that years later, John would write concerning this city or this church in Ephesus, how they have lost their first love. And how he painstakingly taught them the way of love. Right, later on in our adult Sunday school, we will be studying Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 2, when the Apostle Paul exhorts the church at Ephesus to be followers of God, to walk in love. And how is it that not so long after, AD 90 perhaps, when the book of Revelation was being written, 30 years, 40 years, there was a coldness that began to come amongst the lives of the people of God. And Paul said later on in Acts 20, he says, before he left them, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the flock of God which he purchased with his own blood." Before he left, he put in place a leadership there to take care of the flock at Ephesus. And he emphasized how the church was able to become strong through the incessant teaching of the whole counsel of God. Since we began our service here, we have started teaching the Word of God, whether it's through prayer meeting, counted 10 series of messages, slightly more, through adult Sunday school, which began some months after we begin, probably a year after we begin, and then through the worship services, through other meetings, cottage meeting, through youth meeting, the Word of God has been taught. And how the people of God are exhorted to avail themselves to a time of learning the Word of God. And it's up to us, isn't it? If you want to take time to study the Word of God, to be gathered, to learn the truth of God's Word, and you'll find that when the people of God are willing to take time to study the Word of God, they would receive strength. Paul said, 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that you would become a mature Christian, that Christ may be exalted in your life because you know the truth of God's Word as you painstakingly take time to change, to learn the truth of God's Word. And it requires much patience, isn't it? Taking time to study the Word of God, verse by verse, precept by precept, realizing that we are not there yet. We need to grow. And so the Apostle Paul says that we have a perfect book. And God gives to us a perfect process. What is that? Well, through the study of the Word of God, how it is able to show us the principles of life, how it is able to show us where we have gone wrong in our lives, and how it is able to show us what we can do where we have gone wrong, and how it is able to show us the more perfect way in which to live our lives. The perfect person, or the spiritually matured man. And God wants you to be speeding along towards spiritual maturity. And that's how the name of Christ can be exalted in the life of His people. When the Word of God is imbibed in the hearts of God, and instead of fear, there is faith. Instead of doubt, there is faith. And there is praise. There is wisdom, whereby we know how we are able to order our lives. And that was what the Apostle Paul did when he was there in Ephesus. Our text tells us in verse 8, and he went up into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. The Word of God has to be taught. The Word of God must be imbibed by the people of God. But our text tells us, when diverse were hardened, when there were some who were not willing to receive God's Word and believed not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude, they spurn these instructions. They disdain the message, the messenger. Later on you would see, next week you would see how that disdain becomes so acute. And he separated himself, and then he went to a different place. He rented a place in this school of one called Tyrannus. And there he continued for 2 years to teach the Word of God. And as the Word of God is taught to the people of God receive faith. The people of God receive strength to live their lives. They know how to live their life. They know how to do what is needful to receive the blessings of God. They are able to avoid the pitfalls of life. Right? They won't go after riches, but they would be able to... they are warned of the sin of covetousness. They realize that this earth's possessions, how they are insecure, and how we need to take hold of Christ and His Word and His truth and His person in order that we may be able to find joy and peace in our hearts, in our lives. And there you see how the Word of God was being taught. And whenever the Word of God is being taught, you see that the name of Christ is exalted, because the people of God would praise God because they know how life ought to be lived. And the third thought, God's power manifested for the authentication of His presence or for His deity. You see, through the preaching of the gospel, through the teaching of His word, it is not just words, you know. The words of God are life. These are living words. They are able to give life, energy to the people of God. And God manifests the power, verse 11 tells us, by the hands of Paul. Interesting. Verse 11 begins like this. And God wrought. God did something in the midst of the people. He wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Did Paul ask for it? No. He was not seeking any of those things. What was he doing? He was sharing with them the Word of God. But God deemed it fit to manifest His special presence so that His power is authenticated, to let the world know that this is the truth. This is the best. And verse 12 says, so that from His body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them. So, you know, the handkerchief of someone who is sick brought, touched the Apostle Paul. They received healing. The aprons, a part of their the person's robe. He was not there physically to be present. That was the kind of power that God manifested at that time, in order to authenticate the veracity of His word, you see. And this is how God's name is raised, because the power of God will come together with the giving of the word. And this will be seen. And our text tells us, wow, it's so great. And then verse 13 to verse 17 tells us that this power that came through Paul was abused, in the sense that, you know, there are some others who try to imitate, and our text tells us there were certain vagabond Jews, exorcists. The Jewish people have a history of power in magic, power in the occult, power in the demonic world, and they would come and they would exercise that power, and they came and they said, "Oh, this Lord Jesus, good, that name is good, powerful. Let us also use it." Look what happened to those guys when Jesus' name was being proclaimed. Ah, but you see that God is able to distinguish His true servants from the false servants. And our text tells us they came and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and of the chief priest, and he did so. And the evil spirit answered. So when they were trying to cast out the demon, right, the evil spirit spoke to them. And Luke recorded how this evil spirit knew who are the real ones, who are those who have the true power from God. It says here, "Jesus I know," right, the evil spirit, verse 15, answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" The evil spirit said, "I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are." And the man in whom the evil spirit was lit on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. You see, this power from God cannot be manufactured. And here you see how that power was manifested. And God showed us that power. And, you know, today, this is the same power that God manifests in the lives of His people. How the name of Christ is exalted in the lives of His people. When the name of Christ is proclaimed, and the things of God taught faithfully, God, by His own power, authenticated His word. That this is the true word. This is the Christ. You follow Him, you will not go wrong. And then in verse 18 to 20, tells us that there was such great impact upon the city that all the black magic books, you know, all the occultic books, all the evil works of the evil spirit written were brought together by those who were saved, and then they simply light a fire and burn them all away. And our text tells us that these are expensive books. They counted and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. This is equivalent to 150 people working for a full year. This is the value of all those scrolls that were burned, you see. And you see how the word of God spread widely and grew in power? How did it come about? through the proclamation of Jesus Christ and through the faithful teaching of His Word. And then you see God in His own time manifest His power to authenticate His Word. And that's how Christ was magnified. And you ask me, how is it that the world today still rejects Jesus Christ? How is it that there are still so many pockets of land around the world that is still outside the kingdom of God? Well, we believe that the Lord, as He said in His Word, will come and return, and the time will come when we would not need to share and preach the gospel anymore. Revelation 1:5-8 says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." If you are truly a child of God, you have the Spirit of God in you, you have that assurance that you will be there with Christ to receive your reward of faith when He returns. And this is the warning that is given there. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen." Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." There will come a time where we can serve no more. But while He allows time, let us be up and about His work. Let us be up and about exalting the name of Christ in our lives. Wherever He brings us, Christ proclaimed or Christ received to the saving of souls, God's word taught, imbibed to the strengthening of faith, and God's power manifested for the authentication of His presence, of His deity. May God's name be highly exalted as we follow the perfect blueprint to magnify and glorify His name, set for us as a pattern here in the Acts of the Apostles. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing to us how Thou canst be exalted and magnified in our midst. Lord, may Thou help us to be faithful to the word that Thou hast entrusted to us. This word that Thou hast kept pure through the ages. May Thou be gracious to help us to proclaim it for Thy honor, for Thy glory. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.